Why, yes, it is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. All He Wants for Christmas is the greatest hits album from Miley Cyrus. Brian Haney, the voice of the Hawks, is with us. Brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency. Well, Brian, since we last spoke with you last week, a football game got canceled, a basketball game got canceled, and now we believe we're going to have a Big 12 opener between Kansas and Texas Tech. So just your normal seven-day period since we last spoke.
Man, I tell you what, it's been wild, and I'm hopeful everything looks good for tonight. The guys flew out yesterday. We're going to do our first remote broadcast that we've done during this whole pandemic, so that'll be interesting. But yeah, it's been a wild week, and certainly you hate to lose that last chance for the football players to get some reps on such a young team that had 21 true freshmen playing and 11 true freshmen starting at one point. And obviously, you would have liked an additional basketball game. It's not going to help your NCAA resume to play Tarleton State and Billy Gillespie, but for guys like Latrell Jossel and Jethro Muskinen, that might have been their last game of the season, if you think about it, in terms of rotational minutes and that kind of thing. So it was a bummer, but open weekend, which we never get this time of year, so try to make the most of it. But now it gets real in a hurry, and my goodness, what a stretch to start league play. Back-to-back-to-back top 15 teams for Kansas to open up the conference schedule. It's really going to be a bear these next few weeks.
Wow, man, it is going to be very, very difficult. Bill Self saying here this week that I say this every year, but I truly, truly mean it this year. It's going to be a monster, and it will be interesting to see who actually gets to play who, how many times because of COVID, whether or not we get the full schedule in or not. I think there's probably a little bit of doubt to that. You know, Baylor's going to resume here and play K-State hopefully on Saturday, and we'll see how they look as they come back. Of course, Gonzaga coming back now too, the top two teams in the country. But Texas Tech is the opponent tonight, and you know, they're ranked 14th. Texas is 11, West Virginia's 8th, KU's 5th, Baylor's 2, and then there's Oklahoma State, who had their first loss of the year, and they have Cade Cunningham. Oklahoma's a team improved. K-State went up to Iowa State and won, which surprised people a little bit, although Iowa State probably down. But let's just talk about Texas Tech first, and then we'll get to the overall conference outlook. Texas Tech, what's the scouting report on this team? Because some maybe in this area haven't seen very much Texas Tech basketball so far, but boy, under Chris Beard, they're always a tough out.
Yeah, they really are. And he's done something with transfers that we've not seen, you know, this frequency and this success with transfers really since Fred Hoiberg, and that was the comparison that Bill Self made on Monday's Hawk Talk show, which I thought was pretty apropos. You remember before Hoiberg left for the NBA, he was getting three or four transfers a year, and you'd always look at the end of their bench when you play him, and you'd see three really tall, athletic, good-looking guys sitting at the end of the bench, and you're thinking, wait a minute, that's the next wave coming next season. It's already here this season. And, you know, now with the new transfer rules, you know, with grad transfers coming immediately and starting next year with just pretty much willy-nilly, you know, free agent pickups, it's going to be wild to see how much teams are taking transfers. But Texas Tech and Chris Beard has done it really, really well. And their latest example, the best of them anyways, is Mac McClung out of Georgetown. He's transferred in and instantly become their top scorer. Went for 38 points in a game earlier this season, and right now double-figure scoring in five of their seven games. So you talk about an instant impact guy, he's done about as well as you could. But then you take a look at a transfer from VCU, excuse me, who starts in Marco Santos Silva. They've got a transfer from Wichita State in Jamarius Burton. And what he's been able to do is create a culture where they're still recruiting high-profile high school seniors, of which he's gotten the highest-ranked recruits Texas Tech has ever had. Think about Jamarius Ramsey last year, who was a one-and-done guy to the NBA. But then he also gets these more savvy, longer-in-the-tooth veteran transfers to come in and fit his culture there. I mean, think back to their national title game team where Matt Mooney was a one-year player that transferred in and became a big-time guy. I think three of their five starters were transfers on that team. So it really was a great job of getting the pieces to fit by Beard, and he just continues to do that. So it's interesting to try to figure out how good they are as they get set for their eighth game, because their schedule has been a little bit deceiving. Obviously, they played a ranked team versus Houston and lost by 11. Past that, maybe their most quality win is Abilene Christian, who's a better team than the name might suggest, but really hasn't played a tough schedule beyond that. to this point, and some of that's not their fault. They had a game with St. John's that got canceled. But point is, I think like a lot of teams, they're curious to see what they have against big-time talent, and they lost in their only top 25 head-to-head to Kelvin Sampson's team, Houston. So how do they fare versus Kansas? This is going to be interesting. But this is always the biggest game on their schedule. This is always, you know, a matchup of two coaches that respect each other a ton. And something else that's interesting about this, Kansas has not lost a conference opener in 30 years. It's been a streak of 29 straight. This would be the 30th tonight if they can get it done. And it goes back to the 1991-1992 season. I looked it up last night. In 1991-1992, Bill Self was not yet a head coach. He was a grad assistant. Actually, he was a full-time assistant, I believe, at Oklahoma State under Eddie Sutton. And then, of course, you had Chris Beard, not even a grad assistant. He was a student assistant. I don't know if that meant he was a manager or what, but he was a student assistant for the Texas Longhorns the last time Kansas lost a conference opening game. And so it's pretty wild. And I go to the coaches instead of the players because, obviously, none of the players on either roster were alive. Their parents probably hadn't even met and fallen in love yet the last time KU did not win its conference opener. And so when you ask the question, how does this program have the most conference titles of any program in any conference in the country? How did they have 14 straight? Well, it always starts with winning your first. But in this case tonight, this is one of the tougher first games on the schedule they will have played.
Do you have the breakdown of the 29 that they have in a row? How many of those were at home and how many on the road?
Yeah, I haven't seen a full breakdown of that yet. We'll probably look that up before the broadcast tonight, but you know, you would guess that it's close to 50-50 based on the schedule makers, but certainly not very many where you're on the road in a top 15.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
that makes this one a very, very, very different challenge.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, so do we know what the situation is for fan attendance at Texas Tech tonight?
Yeah, we have our meetings later this morning. You're my first call of the day, so I don't know yet what they're going to end up allowing, but I'm huddling up with Jeff Haxton, their guy, here in about 2 hours, so we'll find out tonight. But they will have some form of fans. I don't know if it's like the 2,500 that we've had, but it won't nearly be the 15,000 that they've had in recent years whenever Kansas has come down there. I mean, this is always their blackout game. Mm-hmm. This is always the game where they have some sort of special halftime act coming in. This is their big sellout. That won't be the case tonight, so it's not going to be nearly the same atmosphere. But it will still be some kind of atmosphere, and it will definitely be a Texas Tech team that has this one circled as its biggest opportunity game of the year, even more so than Baylor, because they look at Kansas as kind of that, you know, king of the mountain, and Beard looks itself as obviously, you know, the biggest name in the conference and the guy he aspires to be like. And so this is their biggest game, and I think their effort tonight will reflect that.
Voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, our guest with us today on a Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them, 738-5701. All right, let's talk about the Big 12 race. Five teams ranked in the top 14 in the nation right now. You know, the thing I look at is it seems like year in and year out, We at least the last few years, we know Kansas, obviously. We know Baylor now. We know Texas Tech. Those are the three constants. And then there's West Virginia that always seems to start out great, but then they just kind of peter out later in the year. And they hit this, we thought last year they were for real, and then they hit that skid again. And then there's Texas, which it just seems anything with Texas, you know, I guess the bigger expectations, everything's bigger in Texas, the expectations, the recruiting classes, the and then all of a sudden the bigger the disappointment as well, whether it be football or basketball, it seems like they're always overranked and so forth and so on. Now, I've seen Texas on TV. I've seen them beat North Carolina, top 25 team. Texas, I think, is legit. But at the same time, the point is Texas and West Virginia in years past have maybe got off to good starts, but they can't maintain that throughout most of the year. Is this year going to be different with those two? And if so, how does that change the look of the Big 12 when you've got Baylor, KU, probably Tech, but now those two, if they're legitimate, and you add in Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State, how big of a monster is this conference?
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great way to look at it. And by the way, I found the breakdown of the 29 straight that they've won in conference openers. Believe it or not, only 12 have been at home, 17 on the road.
Wow.
I don't know how many of those 17 were versus ranked teams. Right. That's why tonight's unique. But they've had a few in there for sure. I've called at least one of them. But anyways, back to your question about the league. You know, it's interesting. I think those six teams you rattled off, including Kansas, If you add in Oklahoma State, which you did, they were 30th in votes this week in the AP poll, so fifth amongst the schools not ranked but receiving votes. The other five are all in the top 15. The other five were all in Ken Palm's top nine in his preseason rankings that he does. And so I think there's some legitimacy to how good this league can be. And in a lot of cases, remember back before the Big East split and is in its current configuration, that there'd be weeks where they had eight ranked teams out of 25, and they were just beating each other up, and they were all, you know, 10 and 11 lost teams because they had to play each other, and they were losing inevitably because somebody had to lose. This year in the Big 12, I mean, obviously, these six teams that you just mentioned are going to play each other, but there's a bottom four that they're going to be fed upon as well. And obviously, very impressive win by K-State the other night when I think we'd all lowered our bar of expectations after their loss to Fort Hays State. But, you know, K-State, Iowa State, TCU, I think Oklahoma with Lon Kruger is always going to be formidable, but, you know, they're clearly not in that upper five or six as you laid it out. And so my point is, if the top five is as good as we think they are, then they should be able to prop up their records and keep those rankings relatively high if they hold serve against the bottom five or bottom four, if we want to lump Oklahoma State in that upper tier. That's not to say that each and every one of those games should be a gimme. Of course, in a league this good with coaches this good, those teams in the bottom four are going to find ways to get wins. But I do think the rankings for this league are sustainable because anytime the top five plays each other, it's going to be a really quality win for whoever gets it. And I think there'll be some forgiveness for the team that loses. And then hopefully, for the sake of the league, they're holding serve against the lesser teams. Because I think this is a weird year where you have your haves and your have-nots. It's just a matter of how many have-nots do we actually have. Mm-hmm. Because most years, the Big 12 only has one or two true have-nots. It's just this year, the teams that are the haves, so to speak, are really, really ranked high and thought of with great prestige across the country. Whereas usually you might have four ranked Big 12 teams, but there's Kansas in the top five, and then you got somebody maybe that's back in top 10 or early teens, and then upper teens, and then barely a ranked team. In this case, four other than Kansas in the top five, or in the top 15, I should say, and including Kansas, you got five in that grouping. And so the Jayhawks suddenly have elite-level company. Usually there's one or two threats to the throne. This year there's five threats to the throne, and four in particular that are all top 15 ranked other than the Jayhawks. So it makes for a really interesting year. And to your point, is Texas and West Virginia legitimate? Only time will tell. But I think one thing that plagued Texas late in the Rick Barnes era and throughout the Shaka Smart era was that they were always getting one-and-done, you know, five-star guys. They just couldn't keep them. And now they've got some really talented top 100 recruits that have stayed into their upperclassmen years. And we've seen firsthand at Kansas what a difference that makes. If you can continue to sprinkle in the five-star recruits, but keep some of these top 100 guys to stay for junior and senior seasons and the maturation that comes with, you can be really formidable. And I expect Texas to be that way this season and West Virginia as well. So I think it's a legit league the way it looks right now in terms of the national focus and placement where we stack up. But there will be obviously great fluctuation within that and jockeying for position within that. I don't think Baylor is going to move off their perch, and hopefully Kansas stays as a top five team. But the Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma State alignment could have a lot of a back and forth just based on the gauntlet that is the schedule. And I think the best point you made, and something that people aren't talking enough about right now, is the fact that with abbreviated schedules because of, you know, temporary lockdown situations and COVID exposures and all that, the team that threatens to win this league might be the team that doesn't wind up having to play Baylor or Kansas twice. Mm-hmm. Or the team, if it's not one of the outside threats but one of the top two contenders like KU and the Bears, what did their schedule look like if there are any changes to the 18-game slate? They both play each other later, mid-January, and then the final game of the regular season, which will be a blast. But, you know, did any of them dodge a potential bullet along the way due to scheduling? that's an interesting thing. And the first time, you know, to have that conversation since we went to the 10-team, 18-game round robin where everybody played everybody twice, we used to have this debate all the time. Oh, Big 12 North versus Big 12 South. Well, this year it's the teams in the South that got hooked up because they only had to play Kansas once. You know, the teams in the North had to play Kansas twice. Or KU schedule, was it easier going through the North twice and only playing the South once? We haven't had schedule imbalance in this league ever since Texas, you know, we saw the influx of Texas Christian and then West Virginia, and what was that now, 9 years ago? So I think your point's a good one. It's been a decade since schedules have not been even, and this might be the year where that debate comes back up just based on the inevitability that somebody's going to lose games at some point. And by lose games, I mean off their schedule due to COVID.
And one more thing to point out, you know, we mentioned K-State winning at Iowa State, but TCU just beat Oklahoma State last night. So we're sitting here talking about the haves and the have-nots, and Oklahoma State may be right below those top five haves, but they were undefeated going in that game, and TCU beat them by a point last night. Let's shift our attention to football real quickly, because signing day was yesterday, so it's official. 18 guys have signed up to play football with this year's class. Les Miles likes it. Of course, every coach is going to say they like their class. I still haven't heard a coach after signing day say, you know, really disappointed in what we got. I've never heard a coach say that once. But what are your thoughts? What stands out to you about this signing class for KU football yesterday?
Yeah, I was just thinking the only coach I've ever heard, you know, say something about his team in an underwhelming fashion was Charlie Weiss on Media Day, and I won't re-quote what he said early in his Kansas tenure. But that was not signing day.
Yeah,
that was on preseason Media Day. But, yeah, usually coaches paint the glass more than half full, especially if it's a class that they had a hand in recruiting, and they're always optimistic on their guys. But in this case, you know, I think Kansas did a nice job. It's not a complete class yet. I think there's at least a couple of guys out there that they feel solidly they've got great chances to lock up in the next signing day within the same class, but after the first of the year. And so we'll see, you know, what that looks like here in another month or so. But for now, you've got 18 players, of which the O-line and the linebacking core had the most commitments and additions, three offensive linemen, three linebackers, two guys in the D-line, a couple of receivers. They got a running back out of Lawrence High School that was rated the number one prospect in the state, Devin Neal, and he's going to play football and baseball at KU, so that's kind of exciting for Les Miles and Rich Price. But beyond that, I think that you know, we'll just have to see what the final numbers look like. Could they possibly take one more quarterback, either as a potential walk-on, or, you know, sometimes they do gray shirt situations. I don't know. But I think with the Easters kid, they like what they have there, but Jalen Daniels is obviously still the future to this point. I just feel like, you know, with Brent Dierman, until he gets the guy that's truly, you know, who he wants to build this thing around, and he thought he had that in Jalen until kind of a late-season swoon for Jalen. But until he gets him, you might see Kansas take a chance on a couple of quarterbacks in a given class, which not always do you do, just based on numbers. But in this case, they've got Ben Easters, and I think they're excited about his toughness, his arm, his ability to stand tall in the pocket and deliver, you know, throws with the pocket collapsing around him, but also his ability to take off and be a little bit mobile running the football as well, in case you've seen any film on Easters. But you know, to me, I'm excited about the receivers because if you paid attention, we've lost a lot of receivers to the transfer portal with Parchment and Robinson and Naylor all electing to go. And so we got a kid by the name of Magic Rector. Magic Rector. Isn't that going to be a fun name to say? Do you believe in magic, baby? He's 5'9". He's out of Dallas. Little guy, but I think has some big-time explosiveness in the open field. He's not a straight-up burner like, you know, I think about Jakeem Grant of Texas Tech, who's now with the Dolphins, who is diminutive, or obviously Tyreek Hill is the greatest example of a smallest receiver. He's not like that, but I do think he's got some elusiveness in the open field. And then the other receiver is Keelan Robinson. He's 6'2", another Texas kid, and he has a nice speed-size combination on the outside where he can win a lot of jump balls going up to get them, but also can get behind the defense, you know, with some plus speed as well. So they like what they have there, and I think the only other thing I'll mention is, to this point, and who knows where the final numbers end up, but of these 18 they inked yesterday, every last one of them are high school seniors. And so they continue to remain committed to that path of going about the high school senior route, not the junior college route. And that's what Les Miles said he looked to do all along. And so far, that's been the case.
Yeah, I think you got to stick to that plan. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Today is Wright Brothers Day. On this date, December 17th, 1903, we had the first mechanical-propelled airplane, at least for a short period of time, Orville and Wilbur Wright. So that leads me to the off-the-wall question for Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. The greatest invention of all time, in your opinion, is?
Wow. How about that? I got to say Marconi's invention of the radio, right? I
mean, yeah.
If the voice of the Jayhawks doesn't say that, then we're not all employed right now. So, give it to Marconi. I would say Alexander Graham Bell with the telephone.
Yeah.
Or you could go Benjamin Franklin with the electricity. But
right.
as someone in the communications industry, I can't imagine what the world used to be like when you had to send letters and wait days or weeks on end to hear back on your correspondence. The ability to just pick up the phone and instantly connect with someone had to be life-changing. And I'm sure for our generation and our kids, you know, the ability to FaceTime about 10 years ago when that first came about was probably unreal, to connect with relatives or loved ones halfway around the world. But imagine not having any immediate correspondence until Alexander Graham Bell came up with his invention. I'll go with that. It's probably not a funny answer like you were hoping for. You probably want me to say something like the double stuffed Oreo or something like that.
Well, that was a good one. That is good. I like that. I had one last night myself, yes.
Did you? Okay. What would you say is the best invention?
Well, I'm just amazed to me. I mean, I've always been fascinated by airplanes. I have. I've been fascinated that we can put something that heavy in the air and we can have, you know, not very many accidents and crashes. And so for me, that's one. Another one, I think, is just the television obviously changed things. I remember hearing the stories from my family about when they first got the TV, and then the first color television was a big deal. And then I think if you talk to younger people and you tell them, we didn't used to have the internet when I grew up, they'll just absolutely look at you dumbfounded because they think the internet was here since, you know, the dawn of time. The internet was a pretty amazing invention as well in regards to how we communicate and do everything, as you mentioned, with Facebook time and everything. So there's a ton of them. There are. But I think probably the right one to go with is radio, because you and I make our living off the radio. So that's probably the right answer.
You know, maybe what's interesting is the profoundness of the invention is in direct relation to if you can name the inventor.
Uh-huh.
And I say that to say that with basketball, for example, we all know James Naismith created the game. He's the only inventor who has his name on the Hall of Fame, right?
Right.
Most of us know Abner Doubleday invented baseball, but not everybody.
Right.
Can you name who invented football? I can't. Most people can't.
I can't.
I think it's interesting, you know, when you can name the inventor of an invention. Mm-hmm. Eli Whitney, cotton gin, Alexander Graham Bell, who talked about telephone. I don't know that I can name who invented the television.
I can't either. No, I can't.
Al Gore would like us to believe he invented the internet, but I don't know who actually did.
I don't know who invented the double-stuffed Oreo either. I don't. But but I'm thankful for that person. I will say that right
now. That would be an interesting exercise as we wrap it up. Can you, the listener, name five significant inventions by their inventor, other than the ones we've named already with Eli Whitney and Graham Bell and Benjamin Franklin? Can you name five things and their inventors? Because I think that has a lot to say about how impactful the invention proved to be.
No, I think that's a good point. I'm also thankful for those that invented toilet paper and automobiles so that I don't have to walk to wherever I need to get to. And electricity, of course, is huge. There's so many of them. But, I totally agree with you. It is interesting. Some of those great inventions, a lot of people don't know who invented it. And then some are easy and just roll off your tongue. And when you think about flying, you think of the Wright brothers. And today is Wright Brothers Day. Well, I know that you've flown to Lubbock. The team, I'm sure, has flown to Lubbock. So they've utilized that invention, certainly. Have a great call tonight. KU Texas Tech should be a great one. Should be a classic, and we'll talk again next week, my friend. We'll figure out a day next week, probably maybe Wednesday, but we'll work on that and have you on next week if that works for you.
Sounds great. Always look forward to it. Thanks, bud.
Take care, man. See ya. That's Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks. Brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Beloit, or give them a call at 738-5701.